Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a busy studio. Normally, it's just you and I in here.
Just the two of us hanging out.
Quaint.
Yes.
Just you and
quiet.
I. Never quiet. Never, ever quiet. We saw this story a little while back in the Kansas City Star, Jamie. And it was about a new way. And I guess the headline or the title of this from the Star was, "New effort aims to reduce violent crime in Kansas City. Will this one move the needle?"
And it's interesting that this story actually came out before we had our Friday night shooting and a rough series of shootings over the course of several days after the new mayor was sworn in. This story was done before that, and we learned about that effort before that. It takes on even more significance now.
Yeah, the effort is called the KC Common Good, which before was an initiative of American Public Square. It's been a good-hearted community convener, is what it says in the Kansas City Star. Well, there are some people that are in studio from KC Common Good that we wanted to bring in, and we welcome in somebody who is very familiar with a lot of people here in Kansas City, the former CEO, J.E. Dunn Construction. Terry Dunn is with us. Thank you so much for being here, sir.
I'm very honored. Thank you.
We also have KC Common Good Senior Advisor, Alana Mueller. Get it right?
You got it right. Thank
Nailed
you.
It.
Yes,
it looks
thanks.
Exactly the opposite of that. And also, Classy Alcine, president of KC Common Good, is in studio with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to first figure out what KC Common Good is. And maybe, Alana, you can tell me, what is KC Common Good?
I'd be delighted to. So KC Common Good is an initiative of American Public Square. We started our work in January of 2018. Really designed to address, as Terry put it to me the first time we talked about this, is we have an existential problem in Kansas City. And when we're talking about Kansas City, we mean the metropolitan area. And that is, we have too much violence and too many people are dying. And I think it's important to point out, we often, especially as we hear sort of popular media, we think about violence as being related to homicide. And what we want to point out is that it goes beyond that, and it's impacting way more people than that. So yes, indeed, homicide, but also suicide, domestic violence, violence against children. And so what we want to do is we want to provide hope and access to opportunity for all 2.2 million citizens of our broad metropolitan community. We want to bring people together, encourage them to have empathy, compassion, and care for one another, and really take responsibility for not just reducing violence, but empowering people and allowing people to feel that they have a bright and successful future. And that really, that word access is important to us, that it, you know, if people don't think that they have access, then they don't. We can talk about providing people with opportunity all day long, but it's not just providing that opportunity, it's giving them the access to it and empowering them to go after it.
Mr. Dunn, you've been described as kind of the driving force behind the effort. How did you get involved?
Back in the fall of 2017, through reflection, I saw opportunities in looking at it as an entrepreneur of trying to solve an issue and see what has not worked and the amount of effort that's going on. And what became very apparent was we needed to come together. And this dates back, and we talk about it, and we talked about it when we brought the clergy together. It dates back to Abraham and the tree of Abraham and the story of the creation, the Genesis book. And it basically what we see is out of that particular situation, we have four of the major religious groups who sprung out of the tree of Abraham, from the Muslim faith, the Jewish faith, and I'll separate the Christian faith and the Catholic faith. But the commonality was there is a call for empathy or a call to action. All of them believe in what is the old Adam, the Adam that is self-centered, who committed the sin against the Almighty. In each particular case, there is a new Adam in each religion. And that new Adam has something that's called selfless, unconditional, non-judgmental love for others. And there is a calling that's transformational in all of us to move from this selfishness to address and provide hope for where there is hopelessness, or to provide assistance where there is needed assistance in the community. So that was a common denominator, the fact that we have worked in what I call silos, and the common denominator bringing all these various entities within our community together is called the common good. I use the word social justice. I was immediately corrected by the religious groups, and they said, no, we call it today the common good. And then we were also missing the fact that in putting a business plan together, we need to have measurements. Whatever those measurements are, they're probably going to change, but we need to have measurements. We need to have big data measuring those measurements, and we have to have a method of communication. So those coming together in this level of collaboration, the fact that the Clintons came up with the term, it takes a community to raise a child, we believe through the common good, it does take a community to raise a child.
Joined in studio by Terry Dunn, former CEO of J.E. Dunn Construction. He is the future chairman of KC Common Ground. Alana Mueller, senior advisor at KC Common Ground. Also, Classy Elsine, president KC Common Good, here in Kansas City. Classy, I want to ask you, and I mean this because we have these conversations on our radio program all the time, especially after weekends like last weekend and the First Friday incident that happened and yada, yada. We hear exactly what Mr. Dunn said from a lot of people. We need to come together. We need to organize. What are you going to do differently? What is KC Common Good going to do that every single person we get on the air that says we need to come together? What are you going to do differently?
It is conscious action, collective action. And we're the convener that brings all of these different groups together and takes the parts that are the best and takes the parts and analyzes what's going to work the best. And we give the folks access that need them. And that's something that's never been done in Kansas City from a violent crime point of view. So we've seen it happen with the Homeless Coalition. We've seen it happen with the opiate crisis. There are new things that are happening and they work out really, really well. Because if you don't know what the service is, and I come from a social work point of view, so for me, calling United Way was like water. It was like, oh, I have a client. They need 8,000 things. I knew where to go. The average American does not know where to go. And so KC Common Good creates that regional platform to connect people.
Alana, you're raising your hand. You can just jump in. This is not school.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So you know, to build off of Classy's point, you know, we know, and we've been reminded, believe me, but we know that there are hundreds of people and organizations who have been doing this work for a lot of years. We had no illusions as we began this process that we were going to come in with some new solution, riding in on a stallion to save the day. What we hope to do is not to come actually up with a new solution, but instead to bring the people and organizations who are already doing this together, to convene them, to provide more heft, to make sure they know one another, and to ensure that they have the platform from which to do this at a more effective, efficient level.
We are getting a lot of questions on the text line that echo a little bit of what is crossing my mind. In terms of how do we make an actual difference in the crime rate in Kansas City way, we talk about access and we talk about connecting people to resources, but for people that are involved in domestic violence situations or for someone who's considering suicide, or we have the case recently where the 8-year-old was shot dead in his bed. Yes. Because of gunfire coming from the street, and that one's not solved yet. And we had another case in KCK that was like that. Connect the dots between what you want to do and how we're going to change those numbers.
You know, I think it's important. One thing to point out that we have to be very clear about is that it's not going to be KC Common Good or any of the other organizations that are going to change the mind in the heat of the moment, right? We hope that we've done enough to build people up, to give them access to opportunity, to provide pre-employment skills training, jobs themselves, living wages, a way out of poverty, transportation to get to those jobs or education, healthcare, all of the services that are necessary. We have no illusion about the fact that we may not be the deciding factor to change the decision in the heat of the moment, but what we can do is to build people up in advance so that they do choose a different path in that moment.
We also want to use the leadership within this community. There are a lot of very bright people in particular areas, and the hope is that they would come forward, they will work within their groups, and then we'll interact, for instance, this whole issue of justice and crime. There are some very bright people. We've worked in silos in the past. What we're encouraging is that interconnection and that level of accountability and leadership within that group to come forward with the best ideas. And then figure out how we can interact as a community at large, and how, for instance, how does the business community, how does the religious community, how does education, all of this and other supporting entities, how do we come together on best practices, and how do we measure those best practices? I can tell you I don't have the answers, but there are people that are very wise in this community. If we can have the best and brightest and they can lead, I think we're going to get quality results.
It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket, joined in studio by Casey Common Good's Terry Dunn, Alana Mueller, also Classy Alcine. If you want to read the story where we saw the idea of Casey Common Good coming together to try to get rid of violence or curtail some of this violence in Kansas City, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/981KMBZ. We're listening to you guys tell us about what Casey Common Good's plan is, getting different organizations together, analyzing data in ways it's never been done before. What about people? What about Mayor Lucas? Have you met with Mayor Lucas, Classy?
Well, yes, but we will meet with him next week.
Okay, you will. And what about involvement from Kansas City Police? Have you met with Police Chief Rick Smith?
We have. Okay. We've met with several police chiefs, Chief Smith among them, and have gotten overwhelming support for what we're doing. Because what we're saying is we're bringing together the people and organizations that are doing this in our community and giving them a platform from which to have more heft and effectiveness at what they do already.
I want to talk about something that came up during the break about the groups of people that you need to reach to really make a difference quantitatively in the amount of violence that we have in our city. And I appreciate that the sexy thing that gets all the attention is the murder rate, but there's a lot more violence in the city that goes beyond the fatal shootings that needs attention also. How do you reach those groups, and who are you trying to reach?
Okay, three groups that we see very prominent in who we're trying to reach. One is those that are coming out of the military, and today we know a lot more about post-traumatic syndrome and the problems that these people are having coming out. We have to reach them. We have to figure out how can they be productive citizens going forward. There's also those that are coming out of prison, and we're looking at such organizations as the Second Chance. And we have to do a better job. Candidly, we have two universities, Donnelly College and Rockers, now doing education in prisons. But we are very under-resourced in preparing people for success coming out of the prison life. We have to get engaged, and we have to have a workforce commitment by the business community to work with people in this class. And then the third class, we have a lot of kids coming from broken homes, many of them coming from the wrong zip codes, the poor zip codes in Kansas City. And that takes a special amount of resource to prepare these young people for success.
We'll definitely hit on the reaching young people, but you actually touched on something. It was a story that we were going to get to a couple of days ago that we didn't have the opportunity to. We just ran out of time. There was a story out of FastCompany.com, which is a site that follows business news, about more and more businesses and business leaders having to change some of their restrictions about hiring people with a criminal background, partially because of the status of the workforce, that because of a low unemployment rate, you have to somehow deepen that pool of people that want to do jobs, let's say, like construction. Is that a trend you'd like to see in looking at the criminal backgrounds of people and what qualifies you to be hired?
Definitely. Well, you have to be proactive. I can talk about it from the company that I formerly was the CEO for 25 years. That's J.A. Dunn, and we were proactively hiring people coming out of the prison systems. What we need to do, and we have a commitment from the Chamber of Commerce who's going to work with us. They represent 2,500 organizations. We hope to also have Civic Council at the table, which represents about 80 companies. What we want to do is set a new standard on what is corporate engagement, how can we act, and do we take ownership of these people who are coming out of difficult situations? Do we have the opportunity to create a career path and hope and opportunity and success for them to be productive citizens?
You know, Casey Common Good is really an investment in societal change. This is something we all have to take responsibility for. We all have a responsibility for this. And whether the violence happens on one side of state line or the other, frankly, is irrelevant. We're living in a community that crime doesn't pay attention to state lines. It doesn't pay attention to rules and regulations. Crime happens. Violence happens. And what we'd like to see is really the broad metropolitan community coming together, when we talk about an investment in societal change, yes, individuals have a responsibility for this. Corporations have a responsibility for this. We all do. And so as we think about what we call our engagement model, we think about caring citizens, individuals, people who simply want to do the right thing in our community. We think also about community advocacy and other kinds of organizations who have been doing this kind of work, as I've mentioned, for years and years. Clergy members, you know, it's interesting, as we've gotten involved with a variety of clergy members from multiple religions, we've heard the same thing over and over again. Fewer people are going to buildings that serve as the congregation. The congregation is on the streets. It's the neighborhoods. And we have to begin thinking about our broad metropolitan community as the neighborhood, not these individual enclaves, so to speak. We also have gotten, as you asked the question about law and justice, law enforcement, judges, other justice system-related individuals, healthcare professionals, education, those involved in economic prosperity. So whether that's workforce development or neighborhood organizations, we've gotten those kinds of individuals involved as well. And then finally, business and funding organizations. So I hope that I haven't missed anybody. I hope that everybody in our community can see themselves in one of those, what we call our categories or the cylinders, so to speak, that we have to stop operating in silos and really, I know we use the expression, maybe overuse the expression, but bring people together, and that's what we're aiming to do.
Coming up after the news, I just want to ask you so many questions about what you just said, Alana. And to me, I want to know specifically how you get those different people to trust one another, yeah, for the community to trust those people, and for it to make a physical, concrete difference. I know you started the organization in January of 2018. You, yeah, began with the idea. 20 months later, what data have you looked at? What are people actually going to get on, boots on the street? Yep. You know, what are people going to do? Because I'm fascinated by this new approach, and we're going to dive into some of your data coming up next. Continuing our conversation, Terry Dunn, Alana Mueller, Classy Alcine, all from KC Common Good, taking a new approach to try to end violence in Kansas City, not just gun violence, but violence itself in all forms, with analyzing data and bringing different groups together. And Alana, I told you before the break that I was going to ask you about what you've been gathering. You began the company back in January of 2018. Yep. 20 months later, what have you learned?
So, you know, the way that we've gone about establishing our model, as we call it, is we began by going on what I called a listening tour, just finding out what was going on in Kansas City so that we could hear the stories, not necessarily specifically what tactical things were taking place, but what are your results? What are you finding? How are you accomplishing these goals? And so just listening to find out what was going on. Secondarily, American Public Square gathered that information and then hosted 4 community forums, free and open to the public at large, to address what I call sort of some of the thin threads related to addressing violence in Kansas City. So the first was just what is going on with violence in Kansas City. A second one was related to what I call the good fight for resources, these good organizations all competing for the same time, people, money, et cetera. And how can we help them to do a more efficient, effective job of working not only on their own, but together? We also addressed what I called the criminalization of policy. And that's where we have over-criminalized things like neighborhood violations. I didn't paint my shutters. My grass is too long. I didn't renew the tags on my car. And these kinds of fines begin to build up over time. And what happens primarily to poor people is that they can never rise above the heft of those kinds of fines. A fourth program was called Common Good, and that was how can we create a new model and can we all as a community agree to get on board? So what was nice about the American Public Square style events is we drew in more than 1,000 people to begin to have this conversation in a civil, fact-based manner, which is what American Public Square does best. But, you know, the truth is that was still just talk, talk, talk. And what we have to do is begin to move toward action. We brought together different groups of people throughout the community for more intimate, more private conversations. And what we heard over and over again were certain ideas. And one idea really stuck out to us. This is not something that Terry or Classy or I made up. This is what we heard from the community. Time and time again, we heard what we need is some sort of community resource portal, a place we can go for information. And the truth is there are portals that already exist.
What information are they looking for?
So they're looking for resources to assist with mental health, to assist with getting the information about good quality education, for safe and affordable housing, for job skills training, et cetera, and for jobs themselves. Where do I go to look for this information? And by the way, how do I physically get there? What's the transportation option that I have? And so what we are currently building is a platform, a portal to not just provide this kind of information, but to bring together other portals so that we can be almost a hub, if you will, for when people think about where do I go to get this information, they naturally think of us. And we want to get this information into the hands of the community. It will not just be online. It will also have a telephonic component. We're working with the United Way to make that possible. They already have a wonderful 2-1-1 system that they're using, so we will leverage that. And the idea is to not just build this platform, but to make it available as far-reaching as possible, online, by telephone, in person if necessary, and then to gather that information, assess it, and provide that information back into the community so that we can provide more guidance and resources for the organizations that are providing these wonderful services.
I want us to talk to people who are listening, who maybe don't live in Kansas City, but maybe live in Prairie Village or out in the metro somewhere, who hear us talk a lot about the violence in the metro and hear us have conversations like this about needing people to get more involved and we all need to come together and have a conversation, and they're wondering, what can I do? And I'll put myself in that situation as somebody that has some free time and interest, have tutored in the past, and am wondering, what can I do? And I think I would love for us to spend some time talking to people about the things they can actually do to help and connect the dots between being, let's say, a big brother, because they have a waiting list a mile long, especially yes. for men to be big brothers and big brothers, big sisters, how that reduces the rate of violence. Because I think some people have a hard time thinking, well, how does tutoring a kid cut down on the rate of violence in the city? Can you all explain some of that,
we,
Terry?
We would like to be a convener and assist. Again, there are many great organizations, but candidly, people, whether you live in Prairie Village, I live in Leawood, we have 2.2 million people, and we still have unusual violence taking place in all those communities, mm-hmm. whether it's suicide. In Blue Valley School District, have one school within in one class where two kids took their lives, unfortunately. The situation of murder, domestic violence, problems with violence against children, it is a major, major issue. So what we're trying to do is create the right pathways, and we can get into detail on really calling 2.2 million people who make up our community to come forward and have the level of empathy to get engaged. We will work through those processes. I'll listen to the other two ladies as they talk, but we want to create an environment that encourages a person to say, I care for somebody and I want to do something for the people who are in most need.
There is another aspect that you are talking to that I want to bring up. And Classy, maybe you can answer this. There are a lot of our listeners that don't care.
Okay.
What do you say to those people that are like, I live out here in Olathe. I don't care what goes on that side of Troost. I don't care what goes on with violence in Overland Park. I live in my giant ranch or my small home, and I don't care what goes on. What do you say to those people?
I think people have to understand that crime impacts us all. And if we don't unite as a community, it's going to come to your area also. So we have to look at the bigger picture. And when I think about, I have 22 nieces and nephews, right? I talked to my nephew the other day. He said, I'm scared to go to school. He goes to school in Olathe. So I think we have to look at the bigger picture. And for me, what inspires me every day is, my father was arrested in front of me when I was 5 years old. The trauma took me 30 years to get through the trauma of that one experience. And if you're not emotional about it, you should be, because it matters.
You know, I've heard it said before that people in Kansas City, especially as we sort of compartmentalize the neighborhoods, it's as if we live in bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely, so we hear, 100%.
We hear about the bubble of Johnson County without thinking about the couple in Johnson County who lost their child because the child took his or her own life. We forget that these are human beings we're talking about, and we have got to stop thinking about our tiny neighborhoods, our zip code as our neighborhood. We have to start thinking about our city. Violence is impacting us all. I would be hard pressed to find any individual in our broad 2.2 million person community who has not been impacted by violence. They may not know they have been, but whether it is emotionally, physically, psychologically, economically, these things are impacting us all. You know, I'll never forget the day that the shootings took place in 2014 at the Jewish Community Center in Village Shalom. On that day, I was on the boards of both of those organizations. I know where I was standing when I got the first call. I know what it smelled like, what I was wearing, what I was doing. I know the emotional impact that it had on me. What I didn't know at the moment that it happened is that the woman who lost her father and her son in that incident has been a longstanding friend of mine, Mindy Corcoran. And I remember hearing that somebody with the last name Corcoran had been impacted. And I sent her the, I think now, embarrassingly, the sort of the silliest text message, do you know who this person was? Not realizing that it was her father. And so, you know, we have all been impacted by violence wherever we live in the community, wherever we go. And so to continue to compartmentalize, to say that we don't care is simply foolhardy. We're not thinking about the broader picture. And as Classy said, if we don't start thinking of ourselves as responsible, as being caring, concerned community members, it's going to come back to our door.
Yeah, I want to give an example, because I believe for us to be successful, we're starting a movement. And that movement is that we have 2.2 million people and we have to care for each other. A good example, I was at Mass early this morning. The priest at the offertory said, let us remember and pray for all the people in this community who are hurting, making it very, very personal. And what I'm asking listeners to do is, let's make it personal. Let's make sure that we care for our brothers, and all 2.2 million people are our brothers and sisters. And if we can accomplish that, and we can have people working together where we're asking them to lead and to lead all the time, we will start a movement. And my vision and aspiration is to see Kansas City become that special city on the hill that people look to. We've hit the bottom. Now let's come off the bottom mm-hmm. as a community.
I hope we've hit the bottom. I hope you're right about that. But we're trending ahead in just murders alone.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I hope, Mr. Dunn, I hope that you're right, but Alana, I don't know if we've hit bottom yet in Kansas City in terms of violence.
You know, I don't know. And we've talked earlier about, I don't know that we're going to be the ones to change somebody's mind in the heat of the moment. I'm sitting here looking at the violence statistics from Kansas City, Missouri alone. And I have to give Kansas City, Missouri credit to my knowledge, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but to my knowledge, it's the only city in our broad community that actually publishes on a daily basis up to the minute statistics on what's going on with homicide. And that what that doesn't include, and controversial still, is that it does not include any officer-involved shootings, but it does include at least the homicide report. So, you know, whether we like it or not, it's out there. And so I'm looking at these numbers. So as of today, for 2019, we've had 89 homicides reported in Kansas City, Missouri alone. That's only rivaled by the 2017 number of 93. And that's not right. One murder is
and
too
that,
many.
That year was the worst in 25 years.
And it was. Yeah. It was. So that year alone, 151 murders overall. But same time last year, 89 that we have this year is only rival, but that 93. Last year, same time, 80 murders. And so one is too many. We cannot rest on our laurels thinking that 89 is okay. It's not.
And we can't also lose sight of, I don't know if you have the specific number. I can't remember off the top of my head. How many out of the number this year have been minors? That is tragic. Number. The number of young people that we have had this year. And I think they even broke it out at one point under the age of 16.
They do. So as of same time this year for all years. So this year so far, victims 5, suspects 6. under 16 years or younger, 6 suspects. So the fact that kids have, and primarily firearms, so not to get into the whole gun debate right now, but if we look at the numbers, almost every single one of them involved a firearm of some kind. 6 of the suspects were age 16 or younger. 32 were 24 years old or younger in terms of suspects, and 31 of those were the victims.
Before we let you guys get out of here, what is the timeline? The time frame, like where do you expect to be? Where does Casey Common Good expect to be a month, 6 months, a year from now?
Okay, in October we are having our first meeting of the board. We will establish ourselves as an entity. We are under contract with a group that is writing a software package that will also have cybersecurity aspects, and that will be complete sometime in the first quarter of next year. So we're going to be up and running, and we're going to be sharing information. To have a lasting impact, I don't know how quickly that's going to be. And I can assure you, we're going to make mistakes along the way. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have an attitude of coming together, working through those with the total objective, and we do have the vision statement. We want to provide hope for all employees, I mean all citizens in this community, that they have an opportunity for education, for success, for a productive life, and to be able to have a family and have a meaningful life as a family and a citizen of this country.
You know, people can begin to get involved right now. So there are a couple of ways to do that. One, you can visit us at kccommongood.org. At the bottom, you'll see that there's a place to put your name and email address so you can get information with updates about what we're doing. We hope to provide opportunities for volunteer involvement soon. But in the meantime, American Public Square will continue to program on topics related to KC Common Good. So, for example, on October 24th, American Public Square will host an event related to affordable housing. On November 4th, American Public Square will host one related to the Medicaid expansion question. And what that means is that these are issues that are impacting Kansas City for its common good. You can visit AmericanPublicSquare.org to sign up for that organization's mailing list. And again, this is not to spam anybody, but it's to have information about opportunities to come together, to have the conversation in a civil, fact-based manner, to get everybody in our broad metropolitan community involved.
President Classy Alcine, Senior Advisor Alana Mueller, and also future Chairman Terry Dunn from KC Common Good online, kccommongood.org. I wish you guys nothing but the best. It's a brand new, fresh idea. We all hope that it works. Thank you guys so much for your time. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.